If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Happy Wednesday. Welcome to the Baseball Insiders. I am Adam Weinerb, joined, as always, by fan-sided MLB insider Robert Murray. Jacob Mizorowski, who we've teased for a while, is here. What to expect in Milwaukee for his debut and the rest of the season, plus some key rehab assignments in New York and Boston, and our first Luis Robert trade rumor with teams attached in a long time. Let's get into it. Robert Murray, how are you doing?
I am doing very well. I just sent the tweet as you finished that sentence, so good job by you. But it's good to be here. We got a lot to discuss today, and especially so because my favorite prospect in the game, not named Roman Anthony or Bubba Chandler, has finally been called up. Jacob Mizorowski is now here with the Milwaukee Brewers. I have plenty of thoughts there. Trade deadline is getting closer as well, so I'm anxious to dive into that as well. I'm also going to be on foul territory after the show today, so this is a busy little afternoon for your boy, but we'll make it happen. Good to be here. Adam Weinerb, happy hump day.
Happy hump day. Yeah, double dose of Robert. Head on over to foul territory as soon as we are done here. That's fine. I can speak with that if I want to. It's up to me. I determine how I talk, and that's how I'm going to do it today. 1 o'clock Eastern on a Wednesday. You can also see us right back here Monday afternoon at 3:30 and on all your favorite podcast platforms. Between shows, you should join the Discord. That's where you can ask Robert and I questions privately. Robert has a private Q&A on Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern in the Rumor Mill channel in the Discord. Just become a member of this YouTube channel and pick your perk. Subscribe to the Moonshot, too. It's our weekly baseball email newsletter where Robert and the rest of the fan-sided MLB team break down to the biggest stories of the big leagues, the humor, insight, behind-the-scenes info. You can read all that and more. Robert's columns, my columns, Eric Cole's prospect columns, and the rest of fan-sided MLB staff writers' hilarious shtick on the Baseball Insiders feed on fansider.com/baseball-insiders. Did that a little faster than usual for good reason. Let's get right into it. Jacob Mizorowski, he's here. We knew it would come eventually. The Red Sox stole a little bit of his thunder by breaking the Roman Anthony call-up while we were live on Monday's show. But this is sort of the antithesis of Roman Anthony. Roman Anthony joins Boston. He's rushing up. Not a lot of time for him to get prepped. His family comes to his second game, not his first. By the way, his father and multiple other members of his family are named Anthony. Anthony, that deserves a full FBI investigation. But while we're here, the Brewers gave Mizorowski a long road. They're inserting him into the rotation, not the bullpen. He is debuting in the way that he should have all along. And now we all get to watch 101 mile an hour heat get pumped by the future of the Milwaukee Brewers rotation. What can you tell us about your favorite prospect in the game other than a couple of other guys who we've named? And what should fans expect?
I have been very high on Jacob Mizorowski for a long time. He is a flame-throwing right-handed pitcher. He's moved between the rotation and the bullpen, but they're going to use him as a starting pitcher. And he can top out at 103. He consistently hits 97 to 98. He's got a good slider, a good curveball as well. And the reason why he's not been called up yet was because of spotty command. And he was too hyped up early in the season. And I believe that was a big part of his issues there. But now he's got most of those things under control. And I think if everything goes right here, we've seen the Brewers, they've produced Corbin Burnes, Brandon Woodruff, Freddie Peralta. I think if Mizorowski clicks, he's going to be better than all of those guys. And he's going to be the face of that rotation. The last time I ended up making a claim like that with the Brewers was actually Corbin Burnes. I said he was going to be the next homegrown superstar. And there's a column about that in The Athletic that I wrote when I was covering the team. It turned out pretty well. I am staking all of my claims here in Jacob Mizorowski. I think this is the guy that is going to be a future ace for them, that he is going to end up being a player that they can build around, and hopefully they can keep him in Milwaukee long-term. Obviously that's an issue for very far down the line here, but his potential here is immense. And I am really excited for him to debut because he's starting, I believe, Thursday. And you better believe that I'll be having my eyeballs glued to that. But it also opens up the door for a few questions here with the Brewers in the rotation. And I don't know if you want me to keep going at him or if you want to
start. I do. I want to talk questions.
Well, what the heck did I do to you, Zach G? Damn, Robert's terrible. Are you talking about Luis Robert Jr.?
Luis Robert Jr., yeah. You just got to watch. You got to watch yourself. You got to watch yourself in these comments, guys. We've got a man named Robert on the show.
Yeah, what the heck? Yeah, Zach G, you're not terrible, though. I mean, I can handle that kind of stuff. But the Brewers, even before calling up Mizorowski, they've had questions in – or they've had questions just in terms of like what they're going to do with all their depth, because they have five quality starters right now. Then they have Mizorowski coming into the mix here. And then you have Brandon Woodruff set to return whenever. He had a setback when he took a line drive off the elbow. So there's still like uncertainty of when exactly he's going to return for them. But they have a lot of numbers here, which is not a bad thing. And we've seen teams need to rely on a lot of pitching depth this year and also in years past as well. But I've discussed plenty about Freddy Peralta and what that could mean for him now and going forward. As I said previously, I would be stunned if he's moved. That just does not seem like something that the Brewers are going to do right now. Maybe in the offseason that conversation becomes more realistic. But the name, if the Brewers do move on from a guy that I'm looking at, is Aaron Civale. He signed for $8 million this year, and then he's a free agent at the end of the year. So they could shed some payroll for now and maybe use that in other areas of the roster. I know signing Jose Quintana was not as easy as it should have been, considering the dollar amount. There had to be a lot of convincing there. So we'll see, but I think that move would make a lot of sense for the Brewers moving out from Civale to a team that needs pitching.
Yeah, that is how you thread that needle and balance things out. If you are a team like the Brewers that needs to uncover some pennies under rocks, you try to find a way to move a guy like Civale. And if the Yankees are going to behave like that, they're going to need to try to find a way to move Marcus Stroman too, who's not going to reach his innings limit, and that option's not going to kick in. Maybe somebody wants him. I don't know. That's my soft sell. That's my hard sell, actually. We'll get closer to the deadline. We will see how that moves. Count the Brewers as a hybrid at this point in time. Let's get into Luis Robert Jr. because the discourse in the comments is getting heated. We know we're going to be talking about him this summer. The White Sox are firmly in the midst of the fun part of the rebuild, where the prospects are coming up with really no repercussions. And so far, looking good. Big win in Houston last night. Grant Taylor pumping 101 in the seventh. Luis Robert Jr. is the holdover from the previous era that doesn't totally make sense on this roster. Crochet gone. People like Gavin Sheets gone. Luis Robert Jr. still kicking around. You know the White Sox would rather he puff up that value a little bit before they trade him. There's a reason why the comments are arguing about whether he stinks or is a five-tool player, because right now he looks like a stinky five-tool player. But Francis Romero put his name back in the rumor mill overnight and connected the Mariners and the Yankees to Luis Robert Jr., as well as the Phillies are expected to be in the conversation ahead of the trade deadline. That is the rumor that's been circulating for the last 16 hours. I don't foresee the Yankees creating an additional outfield positional logjam and messing around there when they've got Trent Grisham having the season he's having at that price tag. And they are already looking for at-bats for Bellinger and Dominguez and Judge, and if Carlos Stanton comes back. But what are your early thoughts on the market for Luis Robert Jr., even as he's having a season that doesn't really help the White Sox in this regard?
No, it doesn't help the White Sox at all, because I think their hope coming into the season was that he would have a huge first half of the year and they could really sell high on him. And he is internally, they view him as an all-star player, as a guy who can absolutely be like one of the better players in baseball, but this season it has not gone that way. And in years past, he's also battled injuries as well. So there's so much potential there, but he's just not obviously maximizing it this year. He's hitting below 200 and it's just been a rough season. And I believe Francis Romero when he says that there's going to be a market for a guy like Luis Robert Jr., like there can be teams that can end up getting him on like a huge value. And if you end up getting him for pennies on the dollar and he breaks out, then you're looking like one of the smartest front offices or coaching staffs in baseball. So I totally get why teams would do that. But as far as the White Sox's perspective goes here, they don't have to move him. This is a case where they can hold on to him again, and they could possibly shop him in the offseason and try to get something in return there. So they do not have to move. Luis Robert Jr., as I've said previously, I don't think he's going to get moved. Obviously, that can change with one phone call, but I just don't think that is going to be something that happens at the deadline here.
And while we're talking Yankees, they are welcoming Giancarlo Stanton back in a timeline that some people are even saying could be as soon as this weekend at Fenway Park. But even if it's not, it does feel realistic now after he had a couple ribby singles last night in his first rehab game that they're going to need to make moves and accommodate him. Now, the demotion, Yordan Vivas already off the roster. They're going to lose somebody when they bring Stanton back. It'll be Pablo Reyes. That's NBD. But you do need to start thinking about how you spread ABs around, and you're still looking for infield help. You know, Jazz Chisholm, DJ LeMahieu. Jazz Chisholm, probably not a third baseman. DJ LeMahieu on a heater to start his return to the Yankees. How long does that last? How do you get Stanton, Goldschmidt, and Rice a bunch of reps? They're going to have to answer some real questions. But they're not bad questions to have to answer if you're welcoming back a right-handed power threat like Stanton at somewhere close to the peak of his powers, because they don't have righty thump right now, and they need it. And this is maybe the thumpiest guy in the world when he's right. So do you get a sense of what they expect out of Stanton and how often they expect to play him? Because I think that will answer some of their trade deadline questions. Like, if he's a 2 day a week DH, lovely, but yeah, you're still going to need to search for more.
No, 100%. And when on the topic of thump, I also want to like highlight Aaron Judge's home run yesterday in Kansas City. Like, that was
it's rare that you just sort of like, I got the notification that he homered. I was like, well, let's watch it. Let's see where it went. And you watch it and your jaw's just on the floor at impact, not even when they cut to the crowd.
No, because I've never been to Kansas City, so I don't know. I've never been to that ballpark before, but I have watched plenty of games on TV from there, and I have never seen a ball hit that far. And then I saw Jeff Passan say that he had never seen a ball hit there either, so that made me feel a lot better. But Aaron Judge's power is just incredible. And the same thing can be said here for Giancarlo Stanton. Getting him back is a huge boost for the Yankees when that eventually does come here. And my impression is that they're going to try to ease him in. They don't want to put too much pressure on him right away because they want to have him for the long haul here. But getting him back, and obviously they're going to have a bunch of different pieces in the outfield here. They're going to, that's a situation when he returns, they're going to have to make it work somehow. And that's a good problem to have. But getting his presence back in the lineup is really important, because there is a time, even in spring training, I didn't think he was going to be playing this year. It's just all the reports around him were just so ominous and mysterious. And everyone that I was talking to was just kind of just being like mum. And that's never typically a good sign. But the fact that he's going to return, hopefully in the near future here, that's a really important boost for the Yankees. And they can then maybe use their sole focus on the rotation, pitching, adding another infield bat, and just bullpen in general. Cause I mean, the bullpen, some questions there for sure. As we've said previously, I don't think it's gonna be like a high leverage guy.
Yeah. You think about where they were when Cole and Stanton went down like a week after Luis Gil, and you never thought they'd be 40 and 25. I see the comments saying Ben Rice's numbers are down since April 30th. Correct. But if you look at the hard hit rate and all the predictive stats, nothing has changed with Rice. I would bet on him having a hot streak in him rather than being someone who they need to shield from everyday reps because he can't hit. The numbers are down on the surface, but he's the same player he was in April when he was on fire. I would not – you're going to have to take reps away from Rice, but I would be careful not to take too many of them and balance it in the wrong direction. They definitely have options, which brings us to the Boston Red Sox, who – Logjam City and Roman Anthony helps in that he is an all-star caliber player and they needed a wake-up call, but he hurts in that, holy hell, now you have another outfielder. Now Jaron Duran and Willy Abreu are in trade conversations. And just like that, Masataka Yoshida also claims he is on the mend. Now, he is DH only, although the Red Sox claimed he was a left fielder so they could hide him on the IL all year and he couldn't hit. That only makes the situation more precarious. Even DFAing Abraham Toro would feel not fun for the Red Sox these days. He's hitting like 320 and they need a first baseman, and it's Toro and Romy Gonzalez. That's working. Like, what they're doing in a lot of precarious positions is working. Yoshida coming back, like, almost feels like a non-entity. So I'm curious, do they even let him come back? Are Duran, Abreu, is one of them still the odd man out where you sell high? Would they get rid of Duran, Abreu, one of those guys, and Yoshida if they could? Like, what are we looking at here?
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I gotta be honest, I have no idea. And I don't think they know either. And it was a problem even before Yoshida returned, but with him coming back, like, what do they exactly do here? Like, there's been nothing close with Duran. Moving Abreu is more difficult now, especially with him going on the injured list. Although I don't expect that to be like too long of an absence, but they've tried to move Yoshida in the past, and it's just not been, obviously did not work. But as far as Yoshida goes, it goes back to when they ended up signing him. I will never forget. Like, that's been probably either that or the Xander Bogaerts deal were the two biggest surprises I've seen in terms of contracts given out. And Yoshida, I found out his terms before they were leaked, and they were so outrageous that I thought it was wrong. I didn't think there was a snowball's chance in heck that it was right. But then obviously it turned out to be true, and people around baseball were just like, what the heck were the Red Sox doing here? And Chaim Bloom was convicted the player, and obviously it's not worked out to what they were thinking was going to end up happening, but they got to make that work somehow. Cause that contract is really, really, really difficult to move. I don't know exactly how they're going to handle that, but I firmly expect over the next 6 to 7 weeks, Duran and Abreu, maybe a Yoshida rumor can heat up. Although here's one. This is totally speculatory. This is not based on any information whatsoever. But obviously, Chaim Bloom now works for the St. Louis Cardinals. Is it possible that when he ends up taking over there, that he could end up being interested if the Red Sox take or eat some money there? Again, totally speculative on my end, but. The more I thought about it as I was talking before, I was like, all right, that's not my worst thought I've ever had.
No, you've had worse thoughts and probably worse thoughts on the podcast, I guess. So, no, I think it's a good, as you would say, a good shout by you. The Red Sox are going to have to do some serious business because, like the comments are saying, this year in particular, they are sitting Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony against these lefties. Like, Yankees are going to throw Ryan Yarbrough, Carlos Rodon, and Max Fried against the Red Sox this weekend, almost specifically to see how Alex Cora reacts. And he's indicating he's going to, okay, great. You want to try to neutralize my rookies? I'll give you what you want. Roman Gonzalez has been great on the other side of the platoon. Rob Refsnyder is great at that. They have 800 plus OPSs. Red Sox probably won't skip a beat, but it is odd. It's a little game of chicken. And Yoshida coming back only makes that weirder and more bizarre.
Yeah, no, 100%. And Drew, like, okay, yeah, I'm going to be nice, I promise. But we've said on the show a lot previously that the Padres they've not had a lot of money to spend in the offseason. I don't think they're going to have a ton of flexibility to add a big dollars at the deadline here. So if they have a chance to do that, I cannot imagine it would be for a guy like Yoshida. So I would not get your hopes up for that. I'll look for a lesser option there. Yeah, I'd be really, 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 and also really surprised if that happened.
Appreciate the question, though, as always. Robert, I did want to talk Mariners briefly, then we'll get to the notebook. Bryce Miller out 4 to 6 weeks with elbow inflammation. The Mariners at one point seemed like they would seriously challenge the Astros for the top of the West. Now, falling behind a little bit, all of a sudden. By the way, the Angels are 4 games out of the AL West. My Angels fan friend texted me this morning. I just wanted to say that on the podcast while it's still true. It's true. What the hell is going on out there? So the Mariners not far from the top of the division, but the Astros beginning to differentiate themselves the way that they usually do. Given that the Mariners are getting hit with rotation setbacks and that is their strength, how aggressive do you really see them being? And we're seeing them in Luis Robert Jr. rumors. Like, got to find a middle ground here.
Yeah, I'm going to believe it when I see it with the Mariners, because they have not really committed serious dollars to that payroll in previous years. And the 52% comment still lingers firmly in my mind. And for as often as I've had them, or how often I've wanted them to go after, let's say, like a Pete Alonso or an impact bat like that, they just have not done so. So my expectations for them are tame right now. And maybe it's going out and getting a starting pitcher, or maybe it's going out and getting another bat, even though their offense has far exceeded my expectations this year. So I'm not expecting anything too impactful there. I mean, again, that's just based on previous history. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope they prove me wrong, but their history suggests that we should not expect much from the Mariners, even though I think they should, because they have a really good opportunity here to make some noise in the postseason or even win that division.
It's right of it. The Angels are trying to take advantage of that. You might as well if you're the Mariners too. I'm going to go to George Corey in the comments. Got a good question about Matt Chapman. The reverberations of that injury. Wondering if with Matt Chapman out, will the Giants add a bat or two? Giants firmly in the wild card mix. A strange NL wild card mix. Technically in the NL West mix too. If you believe that the Dodgers, if the Dodgers run Kike Hernandez out in the sixth inning on the mound every couple of days, I think the Padres and Giants have a chance to come get them. But thoughts on the Giants as they approach Buster Posey's first trade deadline?
They absolutely should be going after some bats, because their offense has been pretty bad this year. And if you can end up adding another bat or two, depends on what exactly that looks like, because we really don't know who the sellers are going to be this year. I think that's an opportunity that Buster Posey has to go out and do. And maybe it's even them winning or getting a wild card spot, because I think winning the division is probably not like a likely or realistic scenario, even though they've exceeded my expectations this year. But they're built very similarly to how it was when Buster Posey was there. They're built on pitching and defense. So if you can add a bat or two, they should do it. And I think as long as things continue to trend this way, I feel like that's a pretty likely thing for them to do.
Appreciate the question as always. Robert, anything else in the notebook before we sign off?
It's not necessarily my note, but I thought it was really interesting in the conversations we've had about the Braves. Like, we've mentioned Marcelo Ozuna as a guy that they should, or that they might end up trading. But I thought it was really interesting to see Mark Bowman, who is really tied in with that organization there, covers the Braves for MLB.com. He said that the team should listen on Ozzy Albies. And I'm wondering, is that an opinion? Is that something he's hearing? I don't necessarily know what to make of that, but when Bowman talks about the Braves, it's very similarly to how I view the Marlins with Craig Mish. If they speak, I listen, and I wonder exactly what he knows there. So we'll see, but I think that might be a name that could be worth listening or just keeping in the back of your mind. Even a guy like Raisel Iglesias as well. Like, I mean, when you're out of contention like that, a back-end reliever, that's a not a very useful piece for a team that's not in contention. So I'm wondering if he can end up being a guy that they listen out at the deadline as well.
One of the most valuable services you provide sometimes is telling people which beat writers are laying breadcrumbs and which are just purely speculating. So we don't know what we don't know, but always worth paying attention to Mish and Bowman and just picking up on what they're putting down.
No, exactly. Like Bowman, he's very careful with what he says, and he's very plugged in, and he's one of the best beat writers in the country. And I thought that was very interesting. And I'm like, I read that about 15 minutes before the show today, and I'm like, I got to do some more digging on this, because maybe there's something there. I would not be surprised there was something there. Also, the Beach Boys is, what was it? Brian Wilson, dead at 82. Just got that notification.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that too, because Brian Wilson's a musician that means a lot to me. Saw him in concert. I think of my life in baseball games. What year was the Dodgers? 2021. So the night of the Dodgers-Cardinals wild card game. I saw Brian Wilson live in Westchester, New York. Obviously a man who has gone through immense struggles in his life, personal demons, It was hard to believe he was still touring and singing his heart out. One of the best songwriters of all time. Incredible voice, beyond innovative, and, you know, someone who will be dearly missed and who deserves to rest a bit. Brian Wilson did incredible work. You can join us in the Baseball Insiders Discord. We will be back here on Monday afternoon next week at 3:30 Eastern and on your favorite podcast platform. So rate, review us, give us the stars. We want the stars. Read the Moonshot, subscribe to that, or read it on the fansided.com/baseball-insiders, Baseball Insiders feed. We are off Friday. We'll be back on Monday, but Robert doing a private Q&A in that Rumor Mill Discord channel at 3 o'clock tomorrow. So set your timepieces. I'm going to Baltimore. I'm seeing Tarik Skubal tomorrow night. So stay tuned, maybe for some fun videos from Camden Yards. Let me get you something fun. But until next Monday show or tomorrow's Q&A, if you're in the Discord, we will see you.
That we will. Thank you, everybody. And you can watch me on foul territory here in about 9 minutes. So I am not going to be leaving this chair.
Yeah. Right now, Robert's not going anywhere. You can, if you want a live feed in the next 9 minutes, you could just kind of stare at him like a mannequin. But in 9 minutes, he will be on foul territory talking more ball. So join him there. Take care, everybody.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.